Okay, so this morning, I would like to dedicate our learning to my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, Esther Bas Eliyahu. Our family is observing Shiva this morning, and when I left my uncle's last week in Cleveland, one of my uncles reminded me, he said, remember to learn Le'ilei Nishmas Grandma and Grandpa. So I told him the truth is that I don't need to dedicate anything special for them, because the truth is that all the time, the Torah that I have is in their merit. My grandmother was really, if you'll permit me for 1 minute, she was truly epitomized what it means when you speak about a matriarch of a family. She had B'liayin Hara, a good life. She had grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. She was a very big part of our family. She had a tremendous influence on me and on our children. We used to visit with her often. On Friday night, one of the kids took something from the serving platter without the serving fork, let's just say. And one of the other ones said, Grandma was here. She would give you a look and say a few words. She was an incredibly strong person. She came from a very deeply rooted family that was involved in Yiddishkeit in a very powerful way. In the 1950s, in 1955, Life magazine, some of you know the story, Life magazine was looking to profile Orthodox Judaism to the world. They were doing a series on the great religions. So they were looking for a family that had three generations of Orthodox Jews outside of New York, which was at that time not such a simple thing to find. So they found the Fink family from Scranton. My grandmother was the last of her siblings and their entire family, last of my grandfather's family. And they profiled my great-aunt, Aleha Shalom, was on the front cover, a one full-page picture of her lighting Shabbos candles. And there's an amazing, I have a copy of this Life magazine at home. Someone gave me a gift. So their family was, they lived in this very small town. If you can imagine, it's a small town relative to Scranton, called Taylor, Pennsylvania, in the 1920s and 30s, and then they moved to Scranton. And so she was set up with my grandfather by a man by the name of the Kapishnitzer Rebbe, because she would go by train to bring milk and cheese from their farm to the Rebbes who couldn't get full of Yisrael milk in New York. And the Kapishnitzer knew my great-grandfather from my mother's father's side, who was a Rav in Ostropolis, said, you have a son who works. My grandfather was an immigrant who got fired every Friday until he found a job stocking shelves and cleaning toilets in a supermarket and a shop somewhere. And so he supported his whole family. So this Rebbe said to his father, who was a Rav, he said, you have a son, and there's a nice girl who comes to deliver milk from a farm in Pennsylvania. Very nice girl. Maybe it would be a good shidduch. And that was it. So she was an amazing person. She was a very strong person, and she was the leader of our family for many, many years since my grandfather passed away. And she is going to be missed by a lot of people, especially in our house and our children. But the Zichrom Lo Yosef Mizaram, so her lessons of how to lead an Erlich Torah life, still stick with me. And I think the truth is that it's actually very fitting when we talk about what Rav Volbi is going to teach us today about Seder, about being organized, about being very put together. My grandmother was extremely put together. We would come, they had always a ton of company in their house in Far Rockaway. They lived on Empire Avenue. They had a big, enormous, beautiful house. The house was so big, as a kid, of course, it looked even bigger than it was, but the house was so big that the upstairs was rented out to another family, and the downstairs, they had tons of company all the time. We would come on late Thursday night, we would come in the station wagon. The kitchen was always absolutely 100% spotless. The KitchenAid looked like it had not been used, but there was always a ton of company, people coming and going in that house. It was like unbelievable. And my grandmother worked very hard. She only opened the mail on Sunday. We would watch TV, we would watch cartoons in the sunroom. They had a sunroom, and she would open the mail, because during the week she worked, my grandfather worked in the shmata business, so she worked in the office, and she didn't have any time during the week for anything except for taking care of the kids and cooking and doing everything for the house. So Sunday morning she opened the mail and did the bills. So she was very organized. So Volbit tells us here on page Samaches, Kol Mishu Bardas Yoser Mechaveiro, anybody who is of greater stature A bar das means someone who is knowledgeable, but it means really has greater insight and wisdom than their friend. Yoser yatsivhu behanhagaso mechaveiro. He is more established in his hanhagos, in his ways. The word yatsiv, nitzav, means to be standing, to be firm. Somebody who is greater than their fellow is more firm, is more fixed. Isn't that an interesting observation? People who have greater self, spiritual self-confidence, they are of greater standing, they're more stable. Kol hagadol mechaveiro, yoser misudar b'chayav mechaveiro. Someone on line number two, someone who's greater than their fellow, is more, misudar literally means organized in their life. Beseder ho'atzmi, in their internal organization, bo mitnahalim ha'chayim ha'yom yomim, bo nikar ha'adam ha'gadol. Interestingly, and for some of us who organization is not our strong suit, this is a challenge, but Rav Volbe is saying somebody who has a greater level of self-mastery, of accomplishment, who is a more noble and put-together person, that person's day and their life will demonstrate that. You could see that. You can get a sense from their schedule, from how they operate, how great they are. So he says, that starts even, look on line number four, even on a very basic level, Seder HaChayim, the order of life, Maschil, it begins B'derech Eretz, with how you live, B'nikayon Guf, with personal hygiene. It comes from a schedule. In our house, we're very makbid about this, brushing your teeth twice a day and flossing. V'cheder Megurim. My Rebbe Rav Stav used to say in Yeshiva, in Keren Be'avna, used to say, you could tell how well a boy is doing in learning based on how their dormitory room looks. That's what he used to say. He said, if it looks like a total disaster and a mess, he says, it's very likely that their learning looks like a mess.
Do you think so?
That's what his observation was, and the truth is that if you think about it, and this is what Rav Volbe's reflection is, this is obviously not an ironclad rule, but by and large, people who are meticulous and organized in one area of their life are going to be meticulous and organized in other areas of life. And that's what he's getting to. He's saying if you want to be meticulous and thought out and organized in your Avodas Hashem, so that you prioritize and you allocate the right amount of time, and you're not all over the place, he says you have to have that in your personal life. He's alluding to the fact, on the first paragraph, he's alluding to it more on a kind of a theoretical level, but you have people who are not, if they're not fully developed, if they're not gedolim ba'atzma, if they're not really at a high level, so then they are easily, I found this in my own experience, they're easily moved from one place to the next. You know, the first fad comes along and they're like, I didn't think of that. I should really spend most of my time learning this. And then the next fad comes along and then they're focused on something else. And they're constantly like, they're not settled. They're not yatsiv. So that's the kind of the fundamental principle behind it. Then he says, on a practical level, people who are, generally speaking, organized in one area of their life are going to express that same quality because it comes from a sense of self-mastery, of self-control. You know, that I allocate the right amount of time for the right things that I need to do at the right time. And the same thing is true in Avodas Hashem. He says, Beseder Zmanei Sheina. And how, in the times that they go to sleep, this is something that, you know, for some of us is a big challenge, to make sure that we go to sleep on time. Aruchot, meals. I might have a problem making sure that I go to sleep on time. I never have a problem missing a meal. Baruch Hashem. Va'avoda, and in general, in work. And then, acharkach, afterwards, maskilim, then they have the intelligence or the insight, l'kvoa seder pnimi, to establish an internal order. L'chol inyanei hachayim. Halimud v'ha'avoda mekablim seder na'os. All of a sudden, the learning that we do and the avoda, the personal growth that we're working on, all of a sudden they have an order. Mala hakdim, what to deal with first. U'mala achor la'acher, what to deal with later. You know, otherwise, it's a big mess. Some of us who are not so organized by our nature struggle with this. Because we're constantly like, what am I doing now? What am I supposed to be working on right now? Kama lilmod v'kama lachzor. How much to learn new, how much to review. Next line, kama le'echol v'kama lanuach. How much to eat, how much to rest. You see this in the people who are really the great giants, the giants of the generation. They have a very particular seder. You know, I think about Rabbi Ari Levin, Zichrono Levracha. You know, he would daven at a certain time. He would eat breakfast at a certain time. He would rest at a certain time. Everything was organized. It wasn't just, you know, mashebalo. Gulas hakoseres beseder penimize hi hamachshava hamesuderes. The crown jewel of this internal organization is a clear mind, an organized mind. Hadoreshes avoda v'yegia miyuchedes. And that takes a lot of effort. It's not easy. It's a big struggle, even just to stay focused for a few moments on a single task and prioritize. Someone once gave me a book. It's called The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. It's an interesting book. It's a parable. It's a story of a lawyer who gave up his law practice and went to live in a Himalayan mountain to learn from the monks about what real life is about. The person who wrote it is not Jewish, but if he was Jewish, he probably would learn a lot of Rav Volpe. He was very insightful in terms of his understanding of how to prioritize values in life. And one of the things that he does is at the end of each chapter, he has a shtickle meditation on the values that he's trying to imbibe and imbue in your life in this one chapter. And I want you to know, when I tried doing it, I found it was very challenging to do the meditation at the end of every chapter and not like get all distracted in something else. Because he's saying, machshava mesuderes, to be able to clearly think about what is my goal and what is it going to take to get there? Well, that takes a certain self-discipline. And Rav Volpe is saying it takes even a higher self-discipline to master your mind than it does to master your schedule. Because you can control your schedule with a calendar, with your mind. That really takes internal life. So this is the first part of what he wants to say about being organized. But now he talks about how this person, a person who is in control of themselves to the point where they are very well, where they are very well organized because they have self-control. They have self-confidence and self-control, so their life is very organized, their commitments are very organized, their values are organized. So he says, now this is going to take on a great level of importance when it's not your daily life. What happens to the person who doesn't have a strong grounding and then the winds of change start to blow really hard? Or Rahman al-Islam, some catastrophe falls in their lap. So then, if they don't have an internal seder, it becomes very difficult to cope. Or the person becomes something else or somebody else because they weren't really strong in their foundation. So Rav Volpe says, on the next paragraph, Kol Zeh, all of this is nogei l'chaim, hayom yomim. This is true for the everyday life. Good. I wake up in the morning, I daven shachris, I put on my tefillin, I eat breakfast. That's your seder. V'hine b'chayenu, but in our life, anu motzim nimtzayim midei pam b'matzavim shonim. We're not always in the same circumstance. Sometimes we are in different circumstances. U'itim krovos, and on sometimes, when it's close to each other, anu motzim et atzmenu, we find ourselves lepesa pitzom, shockingly, b'matzav chadash, in a new circumstance. I didn't plan for this, the person will think. And you can just fill in the blank, because there are endless ways to fill in that blank. I didn't anticipate this was going to happen to me today. This wasn't in the way I pictured my life was going to play out. Terem yadanu amaskunto velo yacholnu afilu liskonilikro. So we couldn't have even prepared, even if we wanted to, we could never have prepared for this situation. Ashrei hayodea lisader atzmo. Praiseworthy. Worthy is a person who knows how to organize themselves. Because if they do that, and they can accomplish that in regular life, then he says, az lafi ekronos avodaso, then based on his personal values, v'avodaso v'da'ato, what happens? V'eino ma'abed eshtonosav. He doesn't lose his moorings. The person, she doesn't lose her way. because she was very firm before the storm came. Ve'eino nofel beruho, and he doesn't fall apart to pieces. It's a very powerful truth. Doesn't mean that a person doesn't become shattered, but a person doesn't lose themselves. They become themselves, and they dig into that wellspring of organization to deal with the circumstance that they've been given. But if they don't have that really strong personal development, then the person, God forbid, could really be shattered. And whether that's a financial challenge, a family challenge, a health challenge, all of these things that we encounter in life, they push us, and they challenge us, and they knock us down. And he says, "Bazeh nivchan adam gadol." Through this, you can figure out who really is a great person. And he gives you an example. He quotes, you see here, it starts the pasuk, "V'yosef haya b'mitzrayim." Yosef of Mitzrayim. What do you mean? "V'halo hu ubanav hayu b'chlal shivim u'ma bala lamdenu v'chilo hayinu yodim shehu haya b'mitzrayim." So he quotes a Rashi who asks the question, why does it say that Yosef was in Mitzrayim? Wait a second, we count among the 70 descendants of Yaakov who went down. There are 66 who are enumerated, but Yosef was in Mitzrayim, so there's three, him and his two sons, and then Yocheved kind of gets under the wire. Why do you have to tell me that Yosef was in Mitzrayim? So Rashi says, I'll tell you why. Ela lahodiacha. What line are we? I don't know. I don't have it numbered over here. It's on, what's that? 14. Ela lahodiacha, to teach you. Tzidkaso shel Yosef, the righteousness of Yosef. Hu Yosef, it's the same Yosef, haroes son aviv, who was the shepherd for his dad's sheep. Hu Yosef shehoya b'mitzrayim v'nasa melech v'omid b'tzidkaso. It's the same Yosef who was a shepherd in his father's house, who was in the jail in Potiphar's basement, who ultimately becomes the king of Egypt. The viceroy of Egypt. It's the same person. What does it mean it's the same person? It means he had the same perspective, the same values, the same core self. And so because he had that same self, he was able to navigate each of the circumstances. It doesn't say that he didn't despair. It doesn't say that it wasn't hard. It doesn't say that he didn't face challenges every day. Of course he did. But the point is, he didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, now I'm somebody else because I'm in a different circumstance. No, no, I'm Yosef. Well, I was Yosef then. I'm going to have to figure out how to be Yosef now. I have to be true to myself. But that's because he had created for himself his internal world. And that's what he says, Mi yisod ha-seder, from the foundation of being organized, he means, Hu gam kein she'adam yeda l'sader atzmo b'matzavei rucho hashonim. A person has to be ready to deal with, and it's not easy. What he's describing here, these are lofty goals. They're lifetime achievements. But they are the goals that we want to strive to. That we should be able to handle every circumstance that comes to us and not lose ourselves. Right? I want to be the kind of person who, God forbid, even if something catastrophic happens to me, I don't lose myself. That's what I want to be as my goal. That's what I want to happen. And people go through all kinds of difficult challenges. And yet we see people in our own lives, we look at them, we say, wow, that's amazing how they're able to handle that challenge with nobility. It doesn't mean they never complain or they never have a difficult time, but they keep their eyes on the prize of who they are, what kind of person they are, what their values are. Laval yet kefeu hayiush, so that they should not lose hope in themselves. If they build their self-confidence, so then they can strengthen themselves so that when, God forbid, and if difficult things come along, they don't just throw in the towel and say, I can't do this. V'yishtof kol sidrav haragilim. And it totally washes out their entire life. U'leval tatkifeu mida mimidosa v'tfarlim imahalei chavodaso. A person, you know, we're striving, I'm striving, I want to become patient. Well, you know how you can tell whether you're going to be patient or not? You know, fill in the blank of all the things that when you're behind that person in Jewel and you're trying to making it time to get home for whatever, supposed to be meeting you at the house. So that's going to be a good time to test whether you really have or you haven't worked on your patience. It says if you have conquered that, if you've owned that, and you've controlled that, then the things that happen to you are not going to, they're not going to generally. Now, of course, this is a generalization. You know, you see many amazing examples of this, and then you see it's not always successful. But I think as a rule, Rav Volbe is pointing out that this is an incredibly useful tool to be able to weather various challenges that come up in life. You know, you look around the room, there are many in this room who have more life experience than I do, who probably could speak to this on a first-hand basis in terms of how this has played out. But his concluding paragraph is, U'keklos hakol, at the end of everything, Harei kol echad va'om echad, every person, omid mispar pa'amim b'chayav, lefnei hachra'os gedolos v'goroliyos. Over the course of a person's lifetime, there are occasions. There are those moments when they're at a crossroads, where they're in a circumstance, where they have to, you could call it a defining moment, where they have to make or break their decision. Asher bahem mizgala ha-seder ha-atzmi. And through that, their personal seder, their personal organization, their definition of who they are, that is defined, or it's actually more, it's manifest. Oilo l'misha golesh l'toch hachroos elu ki'ur ki'iver ba'afela. Woe is to the person who goes to make life decisions in critical moments without a sense of values and direction. Right? When they meet that challenge, if that person doesn't have a pre-existing reservoir of role models to look to, of ideas that they've contemplated, of books to go to, of people to guide them, and of ultimately internal moral and spiritual compass, he says they're like a blind person wandering. But he says, "Va'ashrei toch psizus v'shikulei serek srak, va'ashrei hayodeh lishmor oz al ritzifus hanhagaso." Praiseworthy is the person who's able to kind of navigate the storm by sticking to their core behaviors, their core personal goals. U'matzleach lahafoch tkufas chayav hashonos, and that they can take their various disparate experiences of life, some of them that are peaks and some of them that are valleys. Lagush echad, so it should be one integrated life. That it's not disjointed, well, when I was in that circumstance, I was this kind of person, when I was in that circumstance, I was that kind of person. No. It's all one organic, integrated whole. It's a wholeness of life. That is the Seder Atzmi that he's talking about. Lagush echad, into one integrated whole, Shehe Elokav, Emo, that God is with that person, Mitchila v'Adsof. From the beginning of the journey till the end of the journey. God is always with that person. And that is what we're trying to be misader. Ultimately, our goal is to remind ourselves and to fix within ourselves that God is with us, He's a part of our lives, and He's going to be along the ride for the journey. And by bringing godliness into our lives in an organized and integrated and holistic fashion, so then we can create a holistic life that we can build for ourselves. Hope you have a great week. Thank you for coming. Thank you.